Welcome to the Investing Uncensored podcast. You've been searching for different ways to become financially independent or generate passive income to live out your life's purpose as you've seen others do it, but need insight on how. Well, get excited because here you'll discover the tips and resources to fulfill that need. Andre Stewart has spent more than a decade successfully making it happen for himself and others. This is the Investing Uncensored podcast. On this episode of Investing Uncensored, we take a dive into real estate investing in Memphis with Stephen Polk, a prominent investor in Memphis, and why it's a great market for rental property. Stephen will also share his experience and what made him a better investor and why he chose real estate as his career path and how it has changed his life. He will also share what his number one cash flow property is and what type of investment property is very popular within the real estate industry. And now here's your host, Andre Stewart.
Hello, guys, and welcome to the first episode of Investing Uncensored. I'm your host, Andre Stewart. And on the phone, I got a colleague, one of my college friends. He's also an investor in real estate and stocks. His name is Stephen Polk. And today we're going to talk about whatever he wants to talk about. You know what I mean? Obviously, it's going to be about investing. But, you know, Stephen's going to give what he's investing in, his pain points of investing, and what he feels like everybody should know before becoming an investor, or who are active investors, just information that they can share and take with them. They can either use it or not use it. Stephen, how you doing, man?
Hey, man. Long day. Always interesting days in the world of real estate. Pretty hyped about doing this podcast and ready to, you know, share my knowledge and help people that want to get into real estate as much advice as I can.
Sounds like a plan, man. And you know, that's one of the main reasons why I even started the podcast, and we talked about it before I got, you know, even going. And that's why you're the first person on the episode, or the first episode that I'm doing. You know, me and Stephen went to college together. We were damn near roommates. His room was right next to mine. Was it right next to mine, or like the door over?
We was like a door down, because I remember one time when we used to have room wars. And your room was so close, I had to break in your room, and I destroyed your room and kicked over your mattress and kicked everything off the counter. I'm pretty sure you remember that.
I remember that time you tried to climb through the window and I had that belt.
Y'all got me. They got me.
Oh, man. That was funny.
Cool.
But, man, me and Stephen pretty much stayed in touch over the years, and ended up getting into real estate right around the same time that I did. I think he got into it a year ahead of me. We didn't even know each other was doing real estate. You know what I mean? We just, you know, linked up and started talking, and he was like, yeah, man, I'm doing real estate. He's in Memphis. I was in Florida at the time. And then eventually I made my way out to LA, and that's kind of when I got into real estate. But he had been doing it before I got in. So today I'm just going to pretty much dive in and say, let me, what's going on, man? Let everybody know how long you've been in investor. What you got going on?
Yeah, definitely, man. I started investing about 5 years ago. Actually, I started off wholesaling. I know we talked about that in one of the previous podcasts. I was able to kind of learn about the real estate industry locally here, attended a couple of investment groups, joined a couple of investment groups, rather, and attended a couple of investment seminars, kind of learned the ropes, jumped in, made a lot of mistakes, a lot, emphasis on that. But I was able to take what I learned and kept applying it. And I started buying, bought my first single family. And the funny thing about that is I actually bought that to turn around and flip it. It didn't go as planned. And that's actually one of my best rentals to this day. When it grosses me actually the most rental income, I'm very glad that it kind of happened like that. But that's the world of real estate, man. You've got to, you know, do your due diligence, talk to other investors, get in and do it, you know, make your mistakes, learn, and start purchasing and evolve.
How many units is this property you're talking about?
My first property was just a single family home. It was a split level. It was a 3-bed, 1.5 bath. I converted the bottom unit to kind of like bonus room, game room, so to speak. Some of my tenants just use it for extra bedroom. I think the current tenant right now is just kind of using it for a bonus. So we just kind of turned that into added that extra bonus room on.
How much cash flow were you getting from that?
Shoot, I cash flow, what is it, $850 a month. I'm sorry, I take that back, $850 a month. Ironically, crazy thing is, like, my lender, I packaged two other houses. I had a duplex. I mean, my mortgage on both properties was $525. So this, the rent from that one house alone covers the mortgage for two houses, plus gives me a cash flow of $325 a month.
That's not bad, man. $325 a month. And how did you get the property? Did you take out a loan, or how did you acquire the property? What kind of funds did you use?
Yeah, definitely. Did a hard money loan. Did some marketing. A lady, it was actually her mom's house, and her mom was going to assisted living, and they wanted nothing to do with the house, like absolutely nothing. So I ended up taking a hard money loan, fixing it up. Had a buyer for the property. I bought it for $11,000. I put about $25,000 into it, and I had it sold at $66,000. But the realtor knew I was new. She tried to take advantage. She asked for 6% plus a $1,000 bonus for selling the house. And I mean, I look back now, I'm like, that was awful. But I was in such a desperate. And that's another thing, guys. Make sure you are ready to go into these type of things. You're going to need to have some money put back. You know, I was a little gung-ho. I'm not discouraging you, but it's best you kind of put some money back and save. But anyway, I needed to sell the property. I didn't want to keep paying the mortgage, and that's why I ended up actually renting it out. The guy pulled out because he wanted like something ridiculous. I had redid and restained the floors. They look very nice. He was like, no, I want brand new floors. He wanted me to pull them out, so I was like, no way. After I had already put $3,000 into the house, so. But again, it turned out to be a blessing, man. Like I said, that's my best rental. I'll never sell it. So, yeah,
well, man. You know, saying that, and it's funny because I think a lot of times people think that when they have an investment property, they think they're going to get like $1,000 a month. In all actuality, you don't hit home runs on all deals. You know what I mean? So some deals, you're just happy to cash flow the $200 or $300 a month. And that's kind of the name of the game. You get more doors. So you have 10 doors cash flowing at $300 a month. You're making $3,000 a month. And that's, you know, that's the idea behind it. So good deal, man. Well, aside from that deal, what made you get into investing? You know, being that was your first deal, you obviously decided to keep going. But what made you even start the process of becoming an investor in real estate?
Yeah, man. So I've always been basically like an entrepreneur, or I kind of ran in my family. My grandfather had a store in rural Mississippi. So I guess I kind of caught the entrepreneur bug even back then. My mom has her own business, so she kind of passed that down. So it's a little bit. But I was looking for something to, you know, to not invest in, but I was looking for actually a business opportunity. And I was, you know, just kind of working dead end jobs and that kind of thing. And I looked into wholesaling a while ago, but I was like, I just never pursued it. And then I was getting ready to move to California. And interestingly enough, the week that I was getting ready to move out to California, I got in a car accident.
Oh, that's right, because we were going to move out here. I think I moved out here.
Yeah.
And then you were like, I'm on my way. I'm coming out there.
Yeah.
And you were like a year behind, but then you end up staying because the car happened. I think you got more deals coming in, and it just made you want to stay put. I remember that.
Yeah, I for some reason, I don't know what happened, but I was like, I'm going to wholesale real estate because at the time I had already quit my job because I was like, I'm out of here. And I was like, I'm going to wholesale real estate. So as I did research on real estate, it was like the Memphis market is hot. So I'm like, well, let me see what this market is talking about since I'm right here. And I started, you know, I put my first deal under contract and that kind of thing like that. And it ended up working out. So, yeah, it gave me an opportunity to actually go back and forth because I still love California as well. That's how I got started. I just wanted to have my own business. I didn't want to work for nobody or nothing like that. And when the opportunity came up, man, I ran gung-ho. I was gung-ho about it.
Memphis is actually the number one market for cash flowing. I'm in real estate. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but it is number one.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I have a bunch of clients out the country, overseas, and I mean, I just had a guy last night. He's new. It's so funny. He was like, the returns are unheard of, 20% returns and that kind of thing like that. And I'm like, yeah, man. I mean, and now let me be frank, 20% returns, 20 to 25% returns, you know, you're going to, you know, we, some of our properties, you've got to be willing to take that risk, you know. So if you're willing to take a risk, they can be on the higher end, or it can get you, you know, more stable returns if you're, if you, if you're less risk tolerant, 3 to 5%, that kind of thing like that. So it just really it just really depends on your risk tolerance. But the thing about Memphis is it's such a huge demand for rentals, man. I think it's, I think the statistic, don't quote me on this, is like 50% of people are in here or something like that. So there's no shortage.
Why do you think that's the case? Do you think it's the market? People don't have enough money to afford their own home? What's your take? Because you're there and you kind of see it every day.
That's a great question. I think personally it's because like you have such a divide between like an average worker and like corporate workers here. So you can, we've got a good deal of corporations, but the thing about Memphis is you don't necessarily need to be a professional to have a decent home. But when I say that, what I mean is this is the distribution capital of the world. So you can actually have a job in a factory and live in a pretty decent sized house. And then when I say decent size, I'm talking 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1600 square feet, brand newly remodeled for $850. So, you know, if you got a two person household, or if you got a roommate, you're looking at a nice place for $425 a month. That's unheard of anywhere else.
And what's the square footage, you think?
Man, these houses usually run anywhere from 1,200 to 1,600 square feet.
Mm, I bet.
So, yeah.
How has investing changed your life? You know what I mean? A lot of times people get into investing because they're trying to supplement their income, you know, just generally build wealth. So what has investing done for you? I know you invest in stocks too, so you can bring that up if you want to, but I know we're talking about real estate right now. But how has investing in general changed your life?
Yeah, definitely, man. So many different facets. For one thing, I mean, it brought us back together. I know we talk, you know, every now and then, and, you know, kind of caught up with each other. But when we finally, you know, hey, you're doing real estate, I'm doing real estate, man, we've been in contact for quite a bit doing this. The freedom, man, the freedom. You have, you know, the ability to choose when you want to get up. And let me be careful with that, because actually I get up earlier than when I actually had a job, you know, but there is a there's a certain energy to when I get up. Like, I'm ready to go. I'm like, you know, what's the next move? Like, what's the next? It's not without challenges, but I'm actually more prepared and ready for the challenge throughout the day, because it's something that I'm passionate about and I'm believing in. And then the other tier would be, it's been an opportunity to help people, man, whether that be other investors, whether that be other renters, giving them a place to live, or giving one, you know, one of my fellow investors a return on their money, man. It's just, you're given, and I'm a big believer in you know, in the law of attraction and the law of diminishing returns, where, you know, you're putting that stuff out and it's coming back to you. So it just keeps putting me in that space. So you meet amazing people. Real estate is always connected to wealth, and, you know, wealth is kind of connected to everything else. So I find myself meeting other people in other industries, you know, by honing in on real estate. So
it's funny you mentioned that, man. I want to, I didn't mean to cut you off, but to hop in there. It's funny. I want to bring up that part you said about being able to control your own time. Being able to control your own time is a great thing to do, but it's also dangerous, because you can oversleep and just be lazy because you have money coming in, but that money can eventually run out if you don't keep business going. So, you know, I think you said people have to be mindful of, yeah, I want the freedom of time, but what are you doing with that time? Are you taking it and you know, when you have an 8-hour job, you have an 8-hour job that you have to focus on giving that energy to another business. You know what I mean? But when you have 24 hours in a day to focus on you and do what you want to do, it should make you more productive. But sometimes some people can't deal with not having that structure. So it's interesting you said you wake up early and you have the energy to fulfill your dreams and fulfill your purpose. I, on the other hand, I might wake up later, but I stay up until 2 or 3 in the morning because I work better at night. So I think everyone has their specific time on when they do well and produce, you know, within their certain time frame. But I just want people to understand that freedom of time is a great thing, but it can also be dangerous if you don't know how to manage your time well. And being independent and, you know, having your own business the key element is being able to manage your time, I would say. What do you think, Stephen?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And yeah, so it comes down to discipline, man. I mean, I'm up 6 o'clock in the gym every day. Recently just started that. I noticed a huge difference. It depends on how you use your time. So if you don't use that time to your advantage and you are, you know, doing things that's not productive, or you're just being lazy, or you're just lying around, eventually it's going to run out on you anyway. So it's two different phases. In the beginning, you're up, you're hustling, you're making calls, you know, you're getting to know people, you're putting things together. But you should find yourself graduating to a less stressful situation, whereas you've put in enough, and I was just talking to my buddy about this the other day, you put in enough grind, so now you can kind of create the system, and you say, hey, this works this way, this works this way, and it generates, you know, a certain lifestyle, a certain income, to where you can kind of step back and just continue. And, you know, my thing is to continue to focus building on your brand and building investor clients. But you don't want to get caught up to where you're doing so much stuff in the business that you have no time for anything else. You know, that's kind of the business working you instead of you working the business. But it takes time to graduate over there. And I'm still, you know, I'm preaching to the choir because I'm still transitioning over into that side. I'm gradually now kind of building the brand and kind of going over into the education part. But that has come with so much, you know, so much time and effort put into it. So to answer your question, yeah, man, it don't matter what time you wake up, as long as you know, you're putting your time into whatever you're doing, you're staying up late, those hours got to be dedicated to, you know, building the brand, research, study, and whatever you're doing.
I always say that when you have a business, the idea behind having a business, to me, is obviously having freedom of time. And if you have a business, and this is why I like real estate, because if you have a business where you have to work more hours than you would work in having a regular job and you're only making $60,000 a year, I think you need to either start a new business or go back to work, because the amount of stress that you have to deal with running your own business just to make $60,000 a year, I think you're better off having a job. You know what I mean? Because you don't get the benefit of being a business owner if you're working, you know, $80 to $100 a week, you know what I mean? Because there's no fun in that, you know what I mean? So most people start businesses to be able to have freedom of time and work in a business, which is what I think, like a service business. Service businesses put me in the mind of that. I wouldn't want to have a service business where I was out there serving their clients, because again, the idea is to have passive income so you don't have to worry about spending that much time in an office, you know, generate income. And so again, in my opinion, if you're going to start a business, you're going to make sure it's a business where you can, you know, have freedom of time to do whatever you want. And that's why I think real estate is a great business, because you don't have to do that. You don't have to be tied to a desk like a ball and chain if you're doing real estate. You know what I mean? Depending on what kind of real estate you're doing. But that's just how I feel about that.
Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%. I mean, I would just, you know, again, just reiterate, that's the thing, to get freedom of time and passive income. But make sure you know, like, don't fool yourself. You're going to put in time to get over into that passive income. You know, you're going to put in a lot of work to create that freedom effect. So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Stephen, did you always have this mindset, or how did you reach it? And then, you know, what's something you feel people should know about ways of thinking when you're trying to be an entrepreneur or get into real estate?
So I knew that I wanted to do something different, man. I knew, like, the whole, even back in college, like, I was trying to start, like, Fortune. I was doing, like, high-tech marketing and all this. I was doing MLM. Even back then, man, and I had a buddy in college, and we had recruited all these people. We thought we were going to get, like, crazy rich off of that, but it didn't work. But it did open my eyes to a lot of opportunities and a lot of just a different world, so to speak. I knew, like, the getting up, going to clock in was just, like, it wasn't for me. I couldn't do it, man. So I read a lot of books back then. I know everybody does, the whole Rich Dad, Poor Dad and all of that. I read, like, 5 of Kiyosaki's books in a row at like 19 years old. And then after that, I was just kind of like looking for anything I could get my hands on, you know, Think and Grow Rich, The Science of Getting Rich, anything, wealth. So with that, I was able to kind of develop my mindset, and it was more of like a thinking thing, and, you know, to tap into your creativity. You know, it's in every last one of us to, you know, to think wealthy. It just kind of depends on like what kind of investor you're going to be. So I had an inkling to answer your question. I had an inkling of where I wanted to be, but it took some time to develop the mindset to be like, I'm going to be an investor, business owner, and create wealth and create a lifestyle of freedom.
You know, but I think we should address the mentality you have to have with real estate. Well, even in business in general, like obviously within investing, whether it be time in yourself, chime in, you know, finding the right stock, you're going to invest something at some form or another. Well, even if you're an athlete, you have to invest time in it physically becoming a perennial athlete. So with the mindset you have to have with real estate and business, talk about that. Talk about the highs and lows that comes along with it and how you have to have the mental conditioning to be able to withstand when a deal doesn't go through, when you were at the closing table and it falls out for various reasons. Talk about the mindset that goes along with, you know, being an entrepreneur and how you feel about that.
Yeah, no, definitely, man. Man, you've definitely got to be ready, man. There's been so many times where I was like, this isn't for me. I think you talked about, did you want to make $60,000 or something like that? You know, you got to determine if this is for you, like regardless of the, you know, because like I said, you may not see a certain amount when you first start. So are you willing to put in a sacrifice? I mean, there's a lot of times, man, when I didn't see anything or I didn't know what was happening, I was still listening to stuff like this, tapes, podcasts, riding in my car. You know, I'm not, you know, and I'm a sports guy. I love sports. I still love to play basketball. I had to turn off sports talk radio, man, and just focus, you know, completely on real estate and completely focus on something that was going to bring me to a better point in life, a better point of freedom. I remember when I was first getting into wholesaling and I was trying to close this deal and I was going to make $5,000 on this deal. The guy was like, we finally came to an agreement, and the investor pulled up. I never forget this. He pulled up in a Porsche, him and his son, and he was like, what do you want to make on this deal, young man? And I'm like, man, I'd like to make $5,000. So he told me where he had to be at, and I went back to the seller, and the seller was like, no, we agreed on this price. I don't want to do it. But after long talk back and forth, the guy was actually from California, which was funny. It was his dad's house, or somebody he left from the house. So we agreed, and I cannot make this up. The next day, a tree fell on the house. And he did an insurance claim and he was like, I don't want to sell the house anymore. So, you know, I'm like, man, this ain't for me. Like, come on. Like when something happened, you know, but I was able to take that experience, man. I was able to take that experience and I kept running. I was like, you know, I stuck with it. So that's what I'm saying. Reading these books, you know, repetition, like focusing on like the next, focusing on people that have done it before you, that have been through similar things. Those were the reasons I was able to get through, you know, talking to you, that kind of thing like that, man. Networking. That's the only way.
It's funny because remember how, you know, a couple months back, we were talking about what you have to do in between deals, how sometimes the money dries up and how you will lose your mind because you wait on the deal to close. And that's why you got to constantly keep working and wholesaling between flips or any other deals. If you don't have enough cash flow coming in, because the mindset you have to have, you're going to get stressed out. But if you don't have the mental toughness, you're going to lose your shit, right? And, you know, I was watching Grant Cardone on YouTube, listening to real estate guys in my car. You know, you know, I use in my car. You know how I listen to podcasts. I'm always watching something to stay mentally active. So I'm not thinking about being in the negative for the next 2 or 3 months, worrying about what my next check is going to come in, to keep my lights on.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's where the mental toughness has to come in. So, like you're saying, you got to be thinking about what to do next to just keep your mind active because, you know, out of mind gets the man in trouble. So if you're sitting here like, I don't have nothing to do and you stress out over this deal, but if you don't have the stomach for it, you know, you can end up in a bad place because, you know, when money dries up, That's when people start going crazy.
Exactly, man. Like, and you, that's what I'm saying. You got to think way past money, man. You got to think ideas, creativity, and how can I get this thing done? I had my little cousin, and he, you know, I was posting, he saw a couple of, I do Facebook Live videos every now and then about, you know, certain projects. And he's like, how can I get started? I want to do this. And then, you know, I told him, you know, point blank, go read these, you know, I gave him 3 books to read before we could even talk or before we would even spend time together. Cause I was like, if you don't develop your mindset, I'm wasting your time. You're not going to make it. So, you know, he never read those books, but he did come back around and start doing some other stuff in business. So I hope I inspired him from there. Yeah, man, you have got to be prepared mentally. I would say before you jump in this, you know, to at least prepare yourself like a month or two by reading certain books on wealth. I can recommend them or whatever your choice, you know, whatever your choice may be. And also getting around people who are doing it like the first month or two. And you can still look for deals, but I highly recommend getting your mindset right first before you jump into it.
What's so funny, man, is that I have a book coming out. I'm not going to release the title, but the first chapter of the book is called
Inquiring Minds Want to Know, man.
Hey man, I can't release it, man. It's not there yet, but it's going to be an amazing book because I break down so much stuff in there from start to finish. And it breaks down the mental conditioning that you have to have because, you know, my coach, when I played ball in high school, my high school coach was a great coach. We would have to run for a month. We couldn't touch a basketball. All we did was run, get conditioned because we can have all the skills in the world. But if we can't run up and down the court past 2 minutes, what good is that going to do? So you have to have the mental conditioning to do real estate because you can have deals. But again, what good is it going to do if you don't have the mental capacity to be able to stomach if a deal doesn't go through? Do you give up? And so, you know, that's one thing that I talk about. Like you're saying, I wouldn't even pick up a book about real estate until I was mentally prepared to not have the limiting beliefs that I had before on what I had about, you know, real estate or business or people being rich. I would fix my mental, you know, thought process before I would even pick up a book for real estate, which makes complete sense. You know what I mean? You have to be conditioned before you become a business owner, before you get into real estate, before you start investing. If not, you're going to get eaten alive.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Seriously. You know what I mean? You're going to be like, you're going to be on your knees at night.
No, you're doing them a favor by telling them because, it's you can forget it.
Yeah, man, you have to hang it up. Like, again, I was talking to somebody else about this, and, you know, they were like, I don't understand how you could do this. Yeah, I was like, you have to have a stomach for it. Point blank, with investing, you have to have the stomach for it. When you lose $20,000 on a house or stock, you have to be able to, like, and then get back up and do it again. You know,
I'm laughing because I done lost them on both. That's so true, man. You gotta, you know, it's crazy.
Take that gut punch. It hurts. It hurts.
It does.
You don't forget about it either. It's like, man. And it's like you. I think I was talking to my dad one time, and he was like, "Oh, you'll make it up on that next deal." No, I won't. I can't make up 13 grand. No, it's gone. Ain't no making it up.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But they think like, oh, you'll get it. No, you won't get it back. You can't. It's impossible to get it back. Even if you made 100 grand on another deal, you didn't make that 13 grand back. You know, so having a stomach to lose that amount of money and be like, it's all good. I'll make more on the next deal that I learn my lesson. And I tell this too, man. I look at like failures or losses at seminars. I go to a lot of seminars. I go to like 10 or 15 seminars a year just to stay sharp. And some of them I pay for, some of them I don't. But you always walk away with some kind of knowledge. So think about it. If you lost 13 grand on a house, you learn from that mistake. So look at it as a seminar instead of being like, man, I took a loss. No, man, you just paid 13 grand to learn something that you won't do ever again. I promise you that. You know what I mean? You're not going to lose 13 grand again. So think of it as a seminar where you learn how to either, you know, wholesale better, structure a deal better, or whatever the case is. You know, learn how to do more research on the stock that you purchase, whatever the case is. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Well, what are some of the issues that you're finding right now in real estate? I know we talked about a deal earlier today where, you know how I feel about contractors, right? Pretty sure the whole world knows. I did a YouTube video about it. You know, talk about the issue that you're having with real estate right now.
You know what? And it's contractors. I did have an issue with contractors, man. We'd have to do a whole podcast on that. My biggest thing where I am right now, man, is my growth. I'm trying to find a certain grow the team because you're constantly budgeting, man. I mean, and people, you got to understand this. Like, that's the reason, like, to me, I always tell people, like, money's not real. The money's going to come in. Like, it's going to be too much sometimes. The thing is keeping the money and being able to profit. You got so many expenses, man. You got to, you know, you got regular property maintenance. You got taxes. You got insurance. You got employees. You got payroll. You got advertising. You got to keep expanding your brand, you know. Then you got your personal bill. So the thing is growth, man. Like training people to get in these positions and being able to move enough money around in the business to be able to make sure everybody is satisfied and happy. I mean, you're never going to be able to satisfy people completely, but, you know, at least to stabilize. So, you know, I think that's my biggest issue with real estate right now. I've got a property management company, so my girlfriend runs a good portion of that, which helps out big time. And then I've got an advertising team and like kind of marketing team, that type of thing like that. But I still have, you know, a few other departments that I need to, you know, come in and have them kind of look at those and expand things. So that's the biggest thing, man. Once you pass the point of resistance where you're actually doing deals and you want to scale your business, don't keep yourself independent. It's like, you know, create a brand, create a company. You know, you said this earlier, Andre, you want to create freedom of time. That's the whole reason you're doing this. So you need to be creating a system so that you can step outside of that system and watch it operate.
Yeah, you want to be able to walk away at some point in time. You know what I mean? Like, that's ideally the whole reason why people create businesses, you know? That's why I created mine. Maybe not everyone. Maybe people just, you know, like to be at the office or do that kind of stuff. But for me, you know, ideally. So what do you think people should know as a first-time investor? Whether it be, because you do stocks, man. You do stocks and you do real estate. Obviously, you do business. But we talked about stocks, too. We both made some money on stocks and both lost. What do you think first-time investors should know about both of those?
Man, due diligence and research. Research, research, research before you do anything. Read, study, and if you're fortunate enough, get under somebody's wing that is decent in what they do. You don't necessarily have to go with a guru or anything like that. There's plenty of, like, you know, kind of mom and pop stop shops, so to speak. I tell a lot of my wholesalers, is ask if you can volunteer and help those guys, man. They're trying to grow. You know, man, there's plenty of stuff, trust me, that they will, you know, help you to do. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to create two internships right now. And I guarantee you, you go through this internship, you will learn everything there is to know about real estate investment if you want to do it or not. So that's my biggest thing. Research, research, educate yourself.
It's funny because I you touched on a good point. I don't think people understand that they can get a free education from a person by providing value to them. So for instance, with me, I could provide so much content and information to a person if they will be willing to give me their time in exchange. You know what I mean? So if you come and you help me out with marketing or whatever the case is, you're just going to learn so much from being in the vicinity. But a person who's busy doesn't just want to give their time away to someone who's not providing value to them. That doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? You're kind of going to be in the way of their flow. But if you can show that you can provide value to someone who's, you know, flipping deals or who's a multimillionaire, they will gladly, you know, bring you under their wing and show you whatever they need to show you or whatever you ask for, because you're providing value, whether it be running, you know, starting the mailroom, like, you know, those companies, those agencies, do something like that. Just provide value, and then eventually the person's going to be like, you know what? I like you, man. Like, come on, man. I'm going to show you how to do this.
Yep. That's what you said. You said you hit the nail on the head when you said create value, man. That's what you, if you're creating value for somebody else, they'll be more than happy to show you the ropes. You know, I have so many people come in and ask me, can I mentor them? This was kind of before I, you know, started creating like an education platform. But those who actually brought me deals, and I had a young fella was like, you know, once I bring you the deal, can I volunteer on the site and kind of look? Absolutely, man. Absolutely. You paid your dues. Like, come on. I know you're serious. So, yeah, man, that's a great way to get into it and get into this and learn it.
And from my experience with dealing with millionaires before I, you know, hopped into real estate and before I even you know, knew about, you know, trying to build wealth, I got a mentor. You know, I tried to provide it in the best way that I could. And most millionaires, if they have time, they want to give this knowledge to someone. That's why they pass it on to their kids. But if their kids aren't interested, they want to give it to someone. As long as you can, you know, who wants to go meet someone over coffee if they're just like, hey, I'm data dumping on this person and I'm not getting anything in return? Millionaires don't need money. You know what I mean? So to say, hey, man, I'll pay you. They don't care. I don't need your money. I'm obviously a millionaire. Like, what else can you do? You know, can you go drop off these mailers or can you, you know what I mean? Anything. I don't know. Everybody's different, but just provide value in that way. And you know how millionaires all like, hey, come over here, man. Do this for me. Come over here and work for me. Like, oh, this is such and such. And now you're in that network. Now they're introducing you to people because you provided enough value for them to want to show you off and tell you about, hey, this is my friend, blah, blah, blah. We've been doing this together. I'm showing blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and man, to piggyback off of what you said, like, you know, and this, our country's kind of turn away from this, but back in the day, man, you did apprenticeships. Like, you went to go study under somebody, and then you just, you know, that's what you wanted to do. You learned that skill, and you actually started doing it. Millionaires became millionaires because they gave a product or service or, you know, or created something of value. There's no other way. Even illegally, if you became a millionaire, you still gave a product or a service, you know. So if you're coming, you're creating value, like they have no, that's what they do anyway, is give value and service, you know, hopefully it's a good value and service. That's something that's going to benefit you in life. So they have no issues with that whatsoever.
And it's funny because I learned that, you know, that people don't know, I was in entertainment for a while. I was a model for a long time. And the way I got into it, I would do free photo shoots for all the photographers in Orlando. All the time, I was just like, hey, show up. I'll do it. You know what I mean? I didn't care. But eventually, those same photographers, they end up getting contracts. Who do you think they called first? They called me first because I did shoots for them for a year for free. Just showed up. And then when they started getting paying gigs, they called me first. One of my biggest gigs was the city of Orlando. And it was for a photographer that he shot with hundreds of times. And one of his models from Miami ended up, you know, getting sick and couldn't make it. He called me at 6 a.m. I woke up. You know, I was on billboards, on buses, all because I built a relationship with this guy doing stuff for free. And then I ended up getting signed with a bunch of agencies, you know, over time. So, and that's just because I provided value to these photographers and I didn't ask them for anything. I never said, hey, man, can you hook me up with some money? Let me get $20 of gas. You know, can I get a sandwich? I never did that. I just showed up, did my thing. And, you know, it took me to a whole nother level.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's good stuff.
The idea, you know, of us providing this information is because we want you guys to go out and be successful as we have. And we didn't come from money. You know what I mean? I know Stefan and I didn't come from money. You know what I mean? So I remember Stefan beat up Honda.
and he drove for
15 years.
And I have plenty of beat up cars after that, brother.
I know, you know, man. You know, I have my Cutlass, my old 82 Cutlass.
He had those speakers in the back. But yeah, I mean, dude, you guys can do this, man. Like,
anyone can do
it. Literally started from nothing, man. A call center job, and I was doing it I was staying up to like 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, getting off of work. You know, I didn't know if it was going to work, to be honest. Something had to work, man, and I put work into it. But like, if you put work into this and you study and you meet and you network, you know, and you learn and you perfect your craft, man, like you said earlier, just like an athlete does, you're in the gym, man, you're going to look up and you're going to be like, wow, like, I'm doing crazy deals. And you know, we've actually moved over into a lot of commercial space, man. So, you know, we're working on hotels. And like, I never thought I would be negotiating for a hotel deal, man. But it's more than possible. More than possible.
That's just a general rule, man. If you put a lot of time into something, you can't help but get better at it. You know what I mean? Right. So it's just a matter of putting the time in. And eventually what you put in is going to come out. It has no choice. It's just how the mind works. So if you fill in your, like, that's what I do. Like, I watch Grant Cardone. I watch different, you know, people on YouTube talking about investing and real estate and where it's going in the next year. I listen to different podcasts when I'm in my car. So I'm constantly inundating myself with information about real estate. So at some point, that's what I breathe. So everything I talk about, everything that revolves around me is real estate related. So once you get to that level, you can't help but be successful because that's all you've been doing. That's all you've been researching. And that's why, like, athletes like Kobe Bryant, no one can match Kobe's work ethic. And that's why he was such a great athlete, because he put the time in. You know what I mean? You weren't going to outwork him. That was just impossible, because if he's putting in 8 hours every single day and you're putting in four, it'll take you however many years to catch up to him for just 1 year, because he's put in that much time over what you've been doing. You know what I mean? So just general law, put the work in, man, and you'll get out. You'll reap the fruits. Real quick, man. You know what I mean? Thank you for coming on and taking the time, and good stuff, man. Obviously, we'll hop on again and do another podcast about contractors, because we both got some stuff that we want to share about that. But what are two books that you would recommend to our listeners about investing?
It's funny, man, because I used to listen to other podcasts, and I would always say I would never do this. So, you know what? To get your mind right, man, I would have to go with Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I know it's a basic book, but it's simple. It's practical. I gotta put it out there, even though I said I wouldn't do it. As far as a book on real estate, this is a book called Failing Forward, How I Bought Over 1,000 Homes by Failing. I think that's a good book, man, because it was so practical, because it pointed out his failures, but it also celebrated his victories as well. And that book really threw me over the hump. So those are two books I would recommend.
Good stuff, man. Well, thank you for taking the time and hopping on the call with me and telling people, you know, how you got started. And well, let me ask you one last question before you go. What do you see yourself in 5 years, man?
I'm going to graduate. I got a couple of single families and a couple of duplexes. I just working on my first 6-unit apartment building. So multifamily syndications, man, raising capital for plus units, maybe some new development, kind of depends. And kind of stumbled into hotels, man. I didn't think or see myself doing hotels. I had a friend of mine that does a lot of my marketing for me, and I found a hotel deal, man, and we're finding the industry to be interesting. Can't say that we'll continue to pursue it, but for right now, yeah, multifamily syndication and, you know, and hotels, man.
Good stuff, man. Well, tell people how they can connect with you on social media.
Definitely. You guys can check me out at Solid Properties TN. I give free tips and tricks. I'll be doing some mentoring with Residual Rose, Andre's company. You can follow me on Instagram as well at Solid Properties TN.
Thank you, man. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the conversation with Stephen today. Stay tuned for the next podcast. Take care, guys.